Welcome back, friends. Blessed are the pure in heart. Interior unity and the vision of God. Blessed are the pure of ha in heart, for they shall see God. Matthew 5:8. Aquinas, virtue and gift. Aquinas connects purity of heart with chastity and with the gift of understanding. Purity is not merely bodily restraint. It is simplicity of intention. The heart in biblical language signifies the center of willing and loving. To be pure of heart is to be undivided. Aquinas teaches that impurity arises when the soul clings inordinately to sensible goods. Chastity orders the concupiscible appetite so that desire remains subject to reason. The gift of understanding penetrates beneath appearances and perceives divine truth more clearly. When the heart is not divided by competing loves, it sees more simply. Augustine describes the heart as an interior eye. When love is disordered, the eye is clouded. When love is rightly ordered, the eye becomes clear. Purity, therefore, is not repression, it is clarity. Disordered appetite healed. The disorder healed here is duplicity. A divided heart seeks God in something else as ultimate. It prays while clinging. It speaks truth while pursuing self-advantage. Aquinas warns that inordinate attachment to pleasure darkens judgment. When appetite governs intellect, vision becomes disordered. The soul no longer perceives God clearly because it does not desire him simply. Augustine speaks of double-mindedness as a fragmentation of love. The soul that tries to hold two ultimate goods cannot rest. Purity restores coherence between intention and action. Purity of heart is unity of love. Linked to the Lenten pillar, prayer. Prayer purifies intention. Aquinas teaches that prayer is ordered to union with God. If prayer becomes performance, its simplicity is lost. But when prayer is stripped of display and distraction, the heart is clarified. Silence exposes division. Fasting from media, that's been mentioned earlier, noise or unnecessary speech can serve purity more directly than elaborate devotions. The confraternity manuals are careful to warn against exterior piety without interior intention. Devotion that seeks admiration corrupts itself. Prayer becomes purification only when it is honest. An examination of conscience. Examine this beatitude with rigor. What hidden motives shape my actions? Do I seek approval under the appearance of service? Do I entertain interior fantasies that divide my loyalty? Have I allowed habitual distractions to fragment my attention? Is my desire for God first, or merely one desire among many? Purity asks whether my heart is unified.
And I think purity is a real challenge just in general for the human person because we are composite, right? God is simple, so it's theoretically easier for him to be pure because he's a unity. But man is a duality. We're always fighting to have our appetite controlled by our will and our intellect, and so it's very easy for us to be duplicitous. But God demands for us, for our own best good, that we be pure, that we be one-minded, right? We really need to be one in both thought and in action. Those two things have to come together. Otherwise, we fail in honesty, not only to the world, but really in honesty to ourselves. And the more pure that we are of heart, the more truly that we are the creature that God created us to be, right? when he created us with a composite nature, he meant for them to be in a perfect balance with one another, that one would yield willingly to the other. And yet, concupiscence, I don't know, what was that word that you said? I'd never heard of it, and it's adjective, and it's adverbial form, maybe. I just thought that that was that concupiscence that has entered in as a result of the fall makes this dichotomy almost appear natural to us, when in fact that is the disorder, right? The natural state of ourselves is purity of heart. And you know, we can look to the Blessed Mother for guidance in this particular beatitude, because she obviously she exemplifies all of the beatitudes, but all of us can certainly see within her ability to be perfectly, her motivations are in alignment with God's in such a manner that she can even be considered the Mother of God, and that she can be considered the spouse of the Holy Spirit, right? The unity and that purity of soul that is present in her, and not and purity in body is, I mean, it's profoundly becoming. You know, we look to that and we long for that. So, in this particular case, I think that we should make strong recourse to her intercessory power and her many
Oh.
consolations.
Oh, Virgin most pure.
Yes. Yep.
Confessional preparation. Confession restores interior integrity. Aquinas teaches that sin introduces disorder, not only in act, but in intention. To confess sincerely is to renounce duplicity. It is to allow truth to align speech and heart. Augustine insists that God sees not only what we do, but what we love. Confession therefore examines motive as well as behavior. Prepare for confession by asking not only what I did, but why I did it. What did I hope to gain? What good did I treat as ultimate? Absolution restores charity, and charity unifies the will. Orientation toward the promise. The promise attached to this beatitude is the highest yet. They shall see God. Aquinas teaches that the ultimate happiness of the human person is the beatific vision. While full vision belongs to eternity, purity begins that clarity now. The more unified the heart, the more steadily it perceives divine presence. Augustine writes that the vision of God is prepared by the purification of love. Vision requires simplicity. A divided soul cannot sustain sight. Lenten reflection. Choose one distraction that fragments your attention and remove it for a serious period this week. Replace it with 5 minutes of silent prayer. Let silence reveal where your heart is divided. Begin there.
Yeah. And it's important that people, I mean, we always have a tendency to approach all of these things from the purely mechanical human condition, right? That if you're impure in body, then you're impure. And if you're not impure in body, then you're pure, right? But the nature of the flesh is only one element of purity. And that, you know, so, you know, we really need to examine our conscience to find out where we are duplicitous. You know, are our interactions with one another motivated from purity, right? And, you know, these all go together, like how you were talking about, you know, are you seeking to serve your own self-interest? You know, where is it that you are, you know, dual-minded in really anything? Your relationship with your husband, your relationship with your friends, your relationship with your children, right? These are all elements of purity. And because purity is not only talking about the integrity of the body,
That's
it's
right.
also talking about the integrity of the will and the intellect.
That's right.
So, you know, and our Lord is very clear on that, right? The sins of the flesh are many, and that is true. But to even think of committing a mortal sin in and of itself becomes sinful, right? Depending upon how long that we engage with it. So, you know, try not to pass over some of these lightly without really engaging your intellect in trying to discern where maybe you might have elements of duplicitousness.
Very good. All right, my friends. Till the next time, be days at Rachi.